Good morning, EC Grace. I trust this morning you've already been able to gather in your homes and praise and bring praise and worship to the Lord in song. I hope that Kayla's video blessed you mightily and that you were able to sing along with her and be blessed by the lyrics of those songs and the meaning behind those lyrics. She sang "Amazing Love, How Can It Be That You, My King, Would Die For Me? And I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again." No matter what we're facing today, we know our spirit within us is alive and well because of what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. This morning, as we celebrate on this beautiful day, our Lord's resurrection, we're going to go to God's word, and I hope you'll be encouraged. As you guys are watching the news, I'm sure if like me, there comes a time where you need to have a break from it. You just need to get away from it. But maybe in your time of watching the current events and what's going on, perhaps you heard a few weeks ago, our president was speaking to the nation, and at the White House, he said, "We are enduring a great national trial." He said, "We are at war with a horrible, invisible enemy, the coronavirus." He expressed his desire to get through it with, quote, "as few deaths that's possible." That is my hope and prayer as well. And I think that can be said of all of us. There's a news article that came out from Israel Unwired on March 24th that carried this headline. It said, "After the virus, financial carnage awaits." Wow. That may be true. That may not be, but that's what it said. It went on to say, "It is becoming apparent that the world we live in has been shaken to its core. The coronavirus, or COVID-19, it said, has changed the way society is functioning." I don't think I need that article, or you need that article, to express to you that it's changing the way we function. It said, and this has pulled the proverbial rug out from underneath the global economy. I believe we see the pain and the strain that is on the global economy and the economy here in the United States. It said, America's 21st century economy requires cultural optimism to not only halt the collapse, but a clear injection of boundless hope to cause it to rebound. A clear injection of boundless hope to cause a rebound. That may be or may not be. That remains to be seen. But God has a clear injection of boundless hope for us this morning. That clear injection of boundless hope for us, the church, for the world, is that Jesus Christ has risen. He has risen, and he has risen indeed. Praise God. Lord, I just praise you and thank you for your love for us, that you would come, that you would pay the price for our sin, that you would go to that cross, that you would take on our sins, that, Lord, you would redeem us if we would only put our faith and trust in you and allow you by your grace to cover us with your blood, to reunite us to God the Father in saving us, in adopting us as your children, in taking us from death to life. I thank you, Lord, that you rose from the grave, that you conquered death, and that you kept your promises. And we give you praise. We give you glory in your precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. He has risen. That is the hope of Christianity. That is the truth and backbone of our faith. This morning, let's take our eyes for a moment off the words of woe, off the words of fear and worry that are swirling all around us today. And let's turn to words of hope that will carry us through any trial we may face, especially when they are unprecedented in nature. We've been in Matthew in our Blessed Life series, so I thought today we would stay right in Matthew. Go ahead with me and turn to Matthew 28, 1 through 10, if you want to follow along in the word, or in a moment, you'll see it here on the screen. But as we look at this account of the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, let's go to his word in praise and thanksgiving that Jesus is risen. It says in verse 1, "Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen just as he said. Come, see the place where he is lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me.'" What a beautiful account of Jesus raised from the dead and alive. This Easter Sunday's morning, this Easter, this morning, I want to look at a few things. I want to look at a few things of changing words of hope that we can have, of life-changing words. Words that should change and transform our very life. We should recollect this. We should remember it. And we should apply it to our thoughts and our hearts each and every day. The first life-changing word of hope I want to bring to you this morning is in verses 5 and 6. It says, "He is not here. He has risen just as he said." If that is not a clear injection of boundless hope for all of us who believe in Jesus, I don't know what is. That is definitely something that should be great joy, that should cause within us to stir happiness above happiness upon happiness, great joy in our heart. We're told in verse 8, they experienced great joy. For all of us who believe in Jesus Christ, this should give us calm and comfort, peace and happiness. Let's look at the scene here for a moment. Early in the morning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, it said, who we know from chapter 27, verse 56, is the mother of James and Joseph. The Bible says they went to look at the grave. They were looking for Jesus who had been crucified, verse 5. What was going on? Their hearts were breaking. They were mourning. They were in deep sadness and deep sorrow. Then they went to his grave. Many of us have those graveside experiences where we go to a grave and we mourn with great sorrow. You know what they were going through. But here for them, here came this wonderful news from the glorious angel that said, "I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here. He has risen." Praise God. Aren't you glad today that we are not looking for a dead Jesus? We are not looking for a dead Lord. Every other religion in the world, every single one of them has a dead founder, is a false religion. Only in Christendom, only in Christianity, with that word Christ, our Savior, do we serve a risen, alive Lord. Praise God. Our Savior is alive. Look at those next words in verse 6. "Just as he said. Just as he said. Is that important? Was it important that the angel said that to them? He is risen just as he said. Absolutely, those words are extremely important. You see, the reason is all the hope, all of our hope as believers in Jesus Christ are anchored in the fact that Jesus is alive. All of our hopes as Christians are anchored in the fact that we do not serve a dead Savior, that he rose from the dead, just as he said. Certainly, it's very true that we have hopes anchored in the cross of Jesus Christ. There on that cross, he died for our sins. But if Jesus had not risen from the grave, think of that for a moment. If after the cross he had not risen, just as he said he would, what value would the cross have for you? What value would it have for mankind? That cross would mean nothing had he not risen just as he said. What if I were here this morning speaking to you, encouraging you to thank Jesus for laying down his life for you at Calvary, to thank Jesus for paying for the penalties of your sins. And then at the end of our time this morning, I showed you pictures of his tomb where his body is nicely preserved for us. Imagine that. Would that comfort you at all? Would that give you hope that he had truly paid fully the price for sins to fully satisfy the demands of God the Father against sin and humanity in humanity? Would that give you hope that he finally and fully and once and for all paid the price for sin and assuaged the wrath of God himself? And how would you feel about his claims? How would you feel about his promises, such as, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life? Or in John 11:25, how would you feel about this? I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will never die. If I was showing you a tomb where a dead Savior was, what if his specific claim that he would be killed after 3 days and rise again? Over the last few weeks on Wednesday night and in Pastor Tom's message, you've heard Mark 10:33-34, where it said, behold, he said, we are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles. He went on to say, they will mock him, they will spit upon him and scourge him and kill him. But listen, he ended with, and 3 days later, he will rise again. That is what it's all about. We serve a living, risen Savior who keeps his promises. You know, you may realize this, even his enemies understood his claims. The chief priest of the Pharisees went to Pilate the very next day after the crucifixion, after Jesus' death, and in Matthew 27:63 says this. These Pharisees went to Pilate and said, sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I am to rise again. If Jesus had not risen from the grave like he promised, he would have been just what the Pharisees had called him, a deceiver. Deceiving others by promising an eternal life that he really couldn't give. Deceiving himself to think that he was God, that he could raise himself from the dead. All the while claiming to be the way and the truth while deceiving. He would be no better than the devil himself, that what the Bible calls is a liar, who in him there is no truth, John 44, and who deceives the nations in Revelation 19, 20. He would have been no better than him. If Jesus had not risen, then the good news of the gospel is just a term what we hear quite often today, fake news. Had Jesus not risen from the grave? But we know it's true news, and it is the best of news. It is the good news because he has risen from the dead and is alive today. Praise God, all his claims and promises are true. We serve a risen Savior, and I'm so grateful and thankful for that. He has risen. Romans 4, 24 through 5, 1 says, "But for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God." There's no longer any enmity between us and God. We now have peace with God, and it closes with, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Think of what was just said there. Jesus was delivered over because of our transgressions. And he was raised because of our justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, the moment we believe in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we now have this wonderful peace with God, all because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf, because it's through him and him alone. We got to love that. We got to praise God for that. The resurrection, my friends, of Jesus from the dead is the proof of those, in verse 24, who believe in him. It's the proof to those who believe in him that Jesus paid for your sins, that he paid for my sins on Calvary, satisfying once and for all God's completely just demand. You see, Christianity is about a person. All of Christianity is about Jesus Christ. It is about Christ the Lord. And the resurrection for you and the resurrection for me confirms our hope in him that he is who he claimed to be. He is God. He is the Son of God, and he is the only one who can grant and give eternal life, because he is the only one who could pay for it. And he rose himself from the dead. Wow. To think that he can raise, who can raise himself from the dead, to think about that is monumental. When we think about it, it will and can keep all of our hope in him, as we know that he will keep all of his promises he made to us, all of them, every single one of them. Amen. I hope you have a smile on your face. I hope right now you're praising the Lord. In fact, can I hear your amens from here? No, I can't, but I hope the Lord can. So we just saw the first life-changing word of hope in Matthew 28, 5, and 6 is this: he has risen just as he said. Let's look at another life-changing word of hope in Matthew 28, 7, where it says, "You will see him." He has risen just as he said, and you will see him. Know something here. The angel is talking to those disciples and believers about literally seeing Jesus in Galilee. In verse 10, Jesus himself said, "Go into Galilee, and there they will see me," he said. But I know this also, and I can tell you this from the truth of God's word, that if you believe in Jesus Christ as well as your Lord and Savior, you too will see him one day. We're going to see him one day. Now, that also should be a clear injection of boundless hope. That hope isn't just a hope so, a certain hope. But let's not kid ourselves. Life can be full of trials, full of troubles and sorrows and pains. In fact, we are going through some of those right now. Our president said, we hope to get through this with as few deaths that's possible. I don't know God's will. Some of you listening today, you may lose your very life from COVID-19. Some of you may know those who have lost their life from COVID-19, and our hearts go out to them. We know many have died in this nation and across the world. Trials, sorrows, hardship. But here is the bigger truth. Unless Jesus comes first, none of us are getting out of this life without dying. Unless he comes and raptures his church, we all will see the grave. Death is a reality that won't go away. It's a reality that won't go away by ignoring it. But that is why we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ did what we could never do and can never do. He conquered death and he gives life and eternal hope to all who would believe in him. You see, this life will soon pass. But thank God and praise God, there's another life to come, an eternal life with our risen Savior. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15:10. He said, if we had hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. Which is why he said in verse 19 is most precious. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. We are not a faith who puts their hope in Jesus and just this life alone. That would leave us miserable people, Paul said. We are a people, though, of boundless joy. We are a people of great hope and anticipation that rejoices in Jesus Christ because we have a certain hope in a risen Savior. We have a certain hope in a Lord that's alive and well today that we will meet one day in glory. So we don't only just serve him in this life. We will be able to serve him with him alive and well in eternity to come. Praise God. All because he has risen from the dead. I gotta love it. You gotta love that. How many of you remember Thomas? Good Thomas. Thomas was not with the others when Jesus appeared to them and said this, Thomas, unless I see his hands and the imprints of the nails, I will not believe. I'm glad the Lord inserted that comment there for us. When Jesus later appeared to Thomas, Thomas actually seeing him, actually seeing his nail-pierced hands, what did Thomas do? He worshiped him as his Lord, as his God. Then Jesus said these words for you. He said these words for us today. In John 20:29, Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. Blessed are you who have not seen. That's true. We have not yet physically seen the Lord Jesus Christ. But blessed are you, Jesus said, who believe in me. Because you will one day see Jesus as literally as those disciples saw Jesus 2,000 years ago. You will see Jesus Christ as literally as Thomas saw him and looked at his nail-pierced hands. We will see him, and blessed are we who have put our faith in him, though we have yet to see him. We know through the conviction of the Holy Spirit this truth. You will one day see him. Listen here to our Lord's words, his prayer to the Father for you, for me. In John 17, 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Our Lord is looking forward, I know, to the day in his good timing where we will see him, because his desire is that we be, he said, with me where I am, so that they may see me in my glory, that they may see my glory. Wow, we serve a risen Savior. So the first hope I hope to give you today is he has risen just as he said. The second life-changing word of hope is you will see him. But the resurrection is not just about the next life, the afterlife, the eternal life. It is also about hope in this life we now live. Matthew 28, 5 and 10. The next changing word of hope, do not be afraid. He said, do not be afraid. As we've already discussed, as we've been Zooming with one another, emailing one another, as we've been communicating in many different ways, as I'm standing here today in a church that is empty, a church building that is, things have changed. We're hearing stories, we're hearing testimonies of how COVID-19 is affecting people in many negative ways. Our country right now is going through a great deal of trials. There are job losses, financial problems, life disruptions. And maybe this morning you're finding yourself in a situation that looks hopeless to you, that looks impossible, especially to resolve on your own. Even after this virus passes, life will still hold for us many trials and tribulations to come. But when these times occur in our life, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ a source of hope for you? I want to encourage you that it should be. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 1, 6 through 10. He says, but if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively. Did you hear that? We were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. Paul here is describing an affliction that came to him and his companions in Asia, which is now modern day Turkey. It says in verse 8, they were burdened excessively. This has the idea behind it of crushed under a very heavy, heavy weight. It was a burdening that was beyond our strength, he said. This burden was so great for Paul that he says this, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the death sentence. We had the sentence of death within ourselves. In other words, he's saying it was their inner conviction that they were as good as dead. It was their inner conviction that they had come to their end. They had reached the end of their rope, so to say. It appeared hopeless. It seemed all was over for them. We despaired even of life. Here's the Apostle Paul saying these things. The conclusion seemed inevitable. The fact is, even the best of God's children can go through times of despair, can go through great times of hopelessness, and even come to wrong conclusions about the outcomes. Paul thought it was all over, but God had other plans. You see, there was God who raises the dead. Paul, looking back, he sees what really happened. He said God led them to that humanly hopeless situation to teach them something. What did God want to teach them? That God put them in trials beyond their strength. Why? Beyond their resources. Why? Beyond their ability to humanly deliver themselves. Why? So that they would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. No matter what we're going through today, we can trust in God who raises the dead, who rose himself from the grave after paying the price for man's sins. We should put all of our hope and trust in him. Yes, it's true. God does give us sometimes more than we can bear in ourselves. Some of you may not be as afflicted during this trial. Others of you may be afflicted greatly. To some, by God's grace alone, this trial is just an inconvenience. To others, it's job loss, business failure, a life or death struggle as we speak. We have no control over this crisis. We are told to be doing what we can. We are told to do this and conform. And we're doing our best to help slow the spread. But I have no power over the outcome. I have no power to change our present circumstances. At times in life, God does sometimes drive us beyond our strength, that we might learn to trust in him, learn to trust in his strength, so that when all things human possibility are gone, all we can do is set our hope in him. And what a God to trust. A God, the one true God who raises the dead. We can trust him for everything in this life, everything now and everything to come, because he has done what he said he would do. This is Bible talk for he can do anything. He can do anything, and nothing is too difficult for him. Nothing is impossible for our Lord. What is hopeless to us is not hopeless to God. God will never reach the end of his rope, and he will never let you go. Your extremity is only God's opportunity to work if we put our faith and trust in him. But you know, there's a much bigger picture than the trials of this spiritual of this life. The bigger picture is the spiritual life. The bigger picture is our souls. At one time, it was hopeless for us. At one time, it was hopeless for you. We were dead in our sins, and we couldn't do anything to change that. But God sent his son, Jesus Christ, who died in our place. And on that cross, he paid for our sins, and he took on our just punishment. And when he rose from the grave, when he walked right out of that tomb, he conquered physical death, he conquered spiritual death, and that's why we have in 1 Corinthians 15, oh death, where is your sting? Oh death, where is your sting? Oh death, where is your victory? Praise God for that. The sting of death is sin, it says in verse 56, and the power of sin is the law. But there we have it. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, he has done the impossible for us. We now have conquered spiritual death, and we have eternal life, all because of Jesus Christ. Our Lord, who died for us, is alive today. And this should generate something. This should generate in our heart these words from David in Psalm 31, 14 and 15 and verse 24. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. Praise God. You know, there's an old praise song that we don't sing much anymore. This old hymn, maybe. But maybe we should sing it more often. In fact, you heard Kayla sing it this morning. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Praise God for that. We should sing that with great joy. So as we face the trials and the tribulations of life, we have a risen Savior who walks with us. Let's follow him. Let's obey him. Let's live for him, the one who has given us eternal life, the one who one day we will meet in glory. Colossians 1:27 says that Christ in you, that's the risen Jesus Christ, is your hope of glory. Is Jesus Christ your hope of glory? Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, he is. And Hebrews 6:19 tells us that this hope is the anchor of our souls. This anchor of our souls will hold us through every storm of life till one day we stand by his grace in his very presence. And I look forward to that day. Now, I don't know about you, but I know for me, that is a clear injection of boundless hope. Praise God. On this Easter, we have all the hope anyone could ever need. We serve a risen Savior. Hallelujah. That is wonderful. He is risen. You will see him. Do not be afraid. Don't you love those words? I look forward to seeing you again soon. Until then, put all your faith, all your trust, all your hope in Jesus Christ. Trust in him completely. Serve him each and every day. And today and every day, let's give him all the praise, all the glory, all the thanks, and just be overwhelmed with joy that we serve a risen Savior who died for you, who died for me, and loves us for all eternity. Praise God. Lord, I thank you today. I thank you for your work on our behalf. I thank you, Lord, that you saved us, you're sanctifying us, and you're going to bring us to glory one day. Lord, we believe you, we trust you, we know you, all because of your grace. Lord, may we love you with all of our hearts. In your name we pray, amen. God bless you, EC Grace. I love you. Goodbye.